Good evening, everyone. I'm broadcasting live, January 28th, 2016. Today's quote is about admonishing others. Serendipitous, because today, this came up today. Well, tangentially anyway, the idea of admonishing others. So today I did our meditation table, teaching people 5-minute meditation lessons again. I'm going to have to do a video to show you all how I do a 5-minute meditation lesson. And once you've done about 100 of them, you sort of learn it by heart. But then in the afternoon, I had to interrupt it to go to a seminar, a panel actually, on peace and health. And I say serendipitous because during the panel, one of the panelists was talking about Palestine and the health effects, the ramifications of war in Palestine. One of the audience members got up afterwards and denounced this guy as being pro-Palestinian and as not representing the true facts and so on. It was bizarre, really, because we weren't expecting, you don't expect when you go to an academic, or I don't anyway, an academic panel like that to have someone be so harshly accusatory in the middle of the panel. But then a woman off to the side spat out at the man who'd stood up and said, "You are a hate monger. You really, really viciously attack. You are a hate monger." She said it like twice or three times. Which, I mean, I guess that in and of itself was kind of ironic, because she definitely hated what this guy had said. But what she meant was he was mongering hate. He wasn't just hateful, he was trying to cultivate it. Cultivate division, and she accused him of something else some other time. The most bizarre was it was a peace. This was supposed to be a peace seminar, or a peace panel, right? They'd just given all these talks about peace and conflict, and then to have real-time conflict flare up. It's not like it's absurd or anything, but it was quite. And all of us dewy-eyed students sitting there trying to process what's going on. But the moderator was really good. The thing about people who work in peace is they're ready for these things. That's why peace studies is so awesome. It really is a thing. Learning how to cultivate peace, learning how to deal with conflict. These are the people who resolve conflicts, who diffuse conflicts. I just thought it was interesting from the point of view of the quote. What the quote says is, you shouldn't admonish people unless you're free from faults. Because otherwise people will say, "Well, hey, what about you? Why don't you free yourself from these faults first before you accuse others?" So hypocrisy. It's against hypocrisy. It also seems to be subtly against criticism, against admonishing others, but not entirely so. It's just a challenge that you have to look at yourself first. The Buddha is very much about looking at yourself. Admonishment of others, it's like a necessary evil, in a sense. It's what the community has to do if a monk really misbehaves. But even then, you have to be very careful I'm not saying it shouldn't be done. I think in those cases it really should be done. It would be nice sometimes if we were more critical of each other. But there's something too, paying more attention to yourself. I talk every day, or I talk today, all day I was talking to people about diffusing situations, how to deal with conflict. The best way is to look at yourself, to bring yourself back to your own experience of things. So if someone does something that you don't like, you have to look at your own dislike. Like this woman, I think she's a good example, even though she was, maybe she was right about this guy. It's funny how she got really angry and used the word hate, you know, accused someone else of hate. And she was very, very angry herself. Had that happen to me once, an old monk yelled at me like that. I had made a lot of mistakes. I've made many mistakes. And I had made some mistakes. But he turned all red in the face and said, a meditation teacher has to have love. Has to have metta, kindness. And he was really angry at me. I think it was false anger, but he worked himself up and he was trying to accuse me, I think, to, in order to throw the blame off himself, but anyway, I accepted it. It's kind of bizarre to be yelled at about not being kind enough. And that's what this quote says, actually. I mean, that's very apropos, that one, because it says, you know, before you admonish someone, you should ask yourself, do you have love in your heart? Because if you don't, people are going to say, hey, why don't you cultivate some of that love you're talking about? It's just bizarre to be yelled at like that. But it's an interesting, this quote is especially applicable to something about the maybe the European mindset, or they call the modern mindset. Maybe it's just the modern Western mindset. We can be very critical. Oh heck, people can be critical of each other, no matter what society. People like to be critical. We like to pick on others. We like to admonish others. We like to tell each other what to do. We love to look down on each other, our faults. But I specifically wanted to talk about how Westerners go to Buddhist monasteries and get really critical. I think I was guilty of this with my first teacher. He's a layman, and ended up breaking up with that whole group because, you know, he seemed to be fairly egotistical to me and authoritarian and you know, obsessed with, well, I don't know, I mean, just didn't really appeal to me. And so I started to obsess over his faults, and it eventually led to a falling out, and to this day we still haven't reconciled. So, and he's still teaching at my teacher's monastery. So it's always been a bit of a contention, but I was thinking, you know, this quote's quite apt. Yeah, he's not perfect. No, I don't think I'd want to take him as my teacher again, but, you know, that we look too often for perfection, we expect too much. And it's either all or nothing sometimes, you know. You look at your teachers and you think of them as perfect, and then when you find out their faults, you think that they're useless. We do this with people. If we're not careful, it's easy to dismiss someone because of their faults. The Buddha said not to do this. Not in this quote, in another quote he said, people are like cloths. When a monk finds a cloth, You know, they need the cloth to make their robes, so they find pieces of cloth and they stitch them together. But sometimes you'll find a piece of cloth and part of it's rotten, part of it's decomposing. So, but if part of it is bad, what do you do? Do you keep the whole, do you throw the whole cloth out because of one part? No, you tear off the part that is unusable. And you keep the rest. And he said, people are like that. Liken people to a pool of water. Suppose you find a pool of water, but there's scum on top of it. And you're very thirsty and you want to drink from the pool of water, but you can't because there's scum. So what you do is you take your hands and you part the scum with your hands, and then you drink from the pure water. And he said, people are like that. Sometimes their thoughts are pure, sometimes their speech is pure, sometimes just part of them is impure. And for your own sake, and for harmony, and for the avoiding of conflict and suffering, and just this sense of enmity and vengeance and so on, of hatred, avoiding it, you try and find the good in people. And you focus on that. I mean, you at least see it. Because it's one thing to think of everyone as perfect or anyone as perfect, but it's pretty much the same thing to think of someone as evil, as entirely evil, entirely rotten. It's really not likely. And meditation helps us with this. It helps us see into our own minds. And you become humble when you see into your own mind, because you say you stop expecting perfection in others because you've realized you don't have it in yourself. You know, there's a saying that we only hate what we don't, we only hate in others what we don't like about ourselves. I don't think that's really true. I think Hermann Hesse was the one who said that, and it's always struck me as just wrong. I mean, I think it's a sentiment is you only hate people because you have hate in yourself, right? A person who doesn't have evil in themselves will not hate the evil of others because they don't have hate. So there's something like that. But I think it's quite possible to dislike something that someone else has that you don't have. I mean, if someone is, say, sexist or prejudiced, racist, or that kind of thing, you don't have to be a racist to dislike someone who is racist. You don't have to be bigoted to hate bigotry. You just need hate. But what we can see is that we have in ourselves faults. And unless we're faultless, we're either faultless or we don't see our own faults. And that's what causes us to criticize others. And most of the time it's the latter, that we don't see our own faults, and that's why we criticize others. Once you meditate, you start to see your own faults, and you're far less interested in criticizing others. You become humble. It's the difference between new meditators and old meditators in a big meditation center. The new ones are often very critical of everything, the food, the people, the other meditators, the monks, the teachers. Eventually you start to see, I've got all those faults in me as well. And you become so in tune with your faults that you stop trying to find them or stop obsessing about them in others. You say, okay, yeah, we've all got faults. None of us are perfect. It's important. It's important for harmony to admonish only. You know, I mean, you can admonish, I think, to as a general admonishment, like we should kind of thing. Hey guys, we should all try to be more, you know, include yourself in the picture. I think sometimes when you admonish others, it can be part of admonishing yourself. You know, you say, well, we've got to work on this. Anyway, some thoughts on admonishment. I guess that's all for tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a good night.